The first scripture reading for today comes from Deuteronomy 31, 9 to 13. That is from Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 9 through 13. Listen now to God's word to you today. Then Moses wrote down this law and gave it to the priests, the son of Levi, who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. Moses commanded them, every seventh year, in the scheduled year of remission, during the festival of booths, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God at the place that he will choose, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Assemble the people, men, women, and children, as well as the aliens residing in your towns, so that they may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God and to observe diligently all the words of this law, and so that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land that you are crossing over the Jordan to possess. Here ends the first scripture reading.
Second scripture reading you'll find in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. Verses 1 through 5. John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he states, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit, and every branch that bears fruit he prunes, to make it bear even more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you, so now abide in me, just as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. And those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, we do ask you now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be worthy and acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Before we begin, I just want to make sure everyone has a copy of the Covenant Renewal Service. If you do not have one of these copies, raise your hand. Now would be a good time to do it, and Ron will make sure that you have a copy. So happy, because you will need it. You will need it at the end of this. Happy New Year again to all of you. And have you ever wondered what you mean when you say Happy New Year? What are you actually wishing the person? Well, of course, you're wishing that they would be either happy now or that they would be happy throughout the year 2017, right? That's traditionally what we mean when we tell someone or wish someone Happy New Year. In Great Britain, it's Happy Christmas and Merry New Year. It's a little reverse, but it all means the same thing. Now, when in church, it has a little bit of a different edge to it. At least it does to me. When I wish you Happy New Year, which I think I've done 3 times this service already, I'm wishing that your new year will be one that your faith in Jesus Christ will provide you with more joy than maybe you've ever had in your life before. That 2017, your joy, as Scripture says, would be complete in Him. So being happy is great. That's one thing. But being filled with joy is something completely different. Happiness comes from a superficial feeling of what your current situation holds and where you find yourself and what's going on in your life. Joy, though, it comes from a deep-rooted fundamental understanding of who we are, regardless of what our current situation may look like. Joy comes from knowing that we have been created in the image of God and that He still considers us one of His children. even though he knows everything that there is about us. That's where we find our joy, not by what's happening around us, but by who God has made us to be. You know, every now and then, we have to remind ourselves of that. We have to remind ourselves that we actually have value, that we actually have worth, that we are loved, and that God has created us because he loves us so much. The first scripture reading that we saw in Deuteronomy, we find a command by God given to Moses that he is to renew the covenant of the people every 7 years. We do it every year. We do it every year. And it's not because I don't think I think we're less righteous than the Israelites. It's more because we just need it, I think, every year to be reminded of that. And it's interesting that in Deuteronomy, God says, make sure you renew your covenant. And not just you, people of Israel, but everyone who's there with you. So maybe you have someone who is with you because of marriage or because of work or because of slavery back then, right? Or maybe they're an immigrant. Or maybe they're a traveler and just passing through. The purpose of the renewal of the covenant for Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 31 was so that those who may have forgotten who the Lord is and those who may have forgotten who we are in the sight of the Lord, we can be reminded of that again. So we find ourselves now on this side of New Year's Eve. I went to bed at 10 o'clock last night. It's the first time in my life, I think, that I haven't stayed up to usher in the new year. It was a different kind of year this past year. I feel a little battered, I guess, right? I think our nation feels a little battered as well. We came through the throes of an election, and it doesn't really matter who you voted for. I think all of us can at least agree on that this past year was pretty brutal. It was pretty brutal. And we weren't really unscathed as a church in some ways. Some of us dipped our foot into the ring and landed some body blows on others around us. Some of us forgot what it means that draws us and what it is that draws us together as a family, and that we are children of God, and that we have a similar fundamental belief in Jesus Christ, regardless of our ideology, either political or economic. But you know what? This past year has also been very kind to First Presbyterian. I feel like I'm giving the State of the Church address. I'm not. But we continue to grow numerically. Our attendance continues to grow. We're not setting any records, but we are bucking the trend that most mainline Presbyterian and other mainline churches have not been able to figure out. Somehow, some way, we've been able to continue to increase our attendance. This past year, we increased by 7 between the two services. This first service, congratulations, you all, I think, grew by about 5%. The second service stayed completely flat. So you can read into that whatever you like. Financially, we did very well. We brought in about 5% more than we did the year before. This on December 28th, it's like Christmas all over again at this church. We were able to give out $22,000 more than what we normally give. That's what we have. Wayne, I'm not explaining that well. But anyway, we gave out about $22,000 that we had in hand to be able to give out. That's over on top of our budgeted amount as well. So that was a great blessing. We were able to give a number of our various mission agencies an extra $1,000, which was outstanding. But as we take inventory of this past year, we also need to be reminded of what it is that we're doing here together, year in and year out. And be reminded that we are called primarily to abide in Jesus Christ. Did you hear that in the second scripture? 5 times in those short verses that we read, we hear that word abide. I had Leo over to my house on Thursday, and apparently Leo Petrokonis knows something about pruning fruit trees. Who knew, right? And so we had bought a peach tree in the spring, and I had no idea, still don't, anyway, I had no idea what to do with it. So he knew something about it, and as he was telling me all these branches you have to cut off in order for it to be healthy, I'm thinking, look at all that fruit that's going to be wasted. I'm thinking that. He's at the Rose Bowl, so he's not here today, so I can say this, right? And I'm thinking, I'm going to lose half of my fruit. You know, Jesus, when he talks in John 15 about pruning and about cutting off the branches, he's not gentle and he's not real kind. He talks about how necessary it is to prune those branches that don't bear fruit. And he says, we are the branches. We are the ones responsible for bearing fruit. And the reason why we need to periodically remind ourselves of who we are and who God is that we have to ask our questions, are we abiding in Christ or not? Are we producing that kind of fruit that God wants us to produce in our lives? We've tried over this Advent season, this past Advent season, to stress over and over again the importance of our relationship with our Savior Jesus Christ through prayer. That's the primary way in which we can abide in Christ is through prayer. If we don't have a prayer life, then we're not abiding. It's that simple. And we are told that if we're not abiding, then we are those branches that will be cut off, and we will not be producing the fruit that we are called to produce. That's what Jesus tells us in John 15. So today is kind of that day of asking ourselves that tough question. What fruit have we produced in 2016? How are we with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And then looking toward the future, what fruit will we be producing? What fruit do we want to produce? And how are we going to get to that point in our lives? How are we going to get to that point in our relationship with Jesus where we can produce that fruit? I hope and I pray that this year is going to be the year that First Presbyterian will continue to produce the fruit that it has, but also the kind of fruit that is long-lasting and isn't here one year and then is gone the next. We continue to be viewed as the place where you go in Strasbourg if you are from the community and you need help, and that's exciting. But we need to be able to expand this next year, the possibilities of what we can offer people when they come here, either for physical, tangible needs or emotional support needs as well. Some of us are here because we want to be a part of a family. The relationship with Jesus is important, but that connection with a family is also incredibly important to us. We want to be a part of something that's bigger than ourselves. But we need to be sure that we're able to plug people in. This past year, we had a number of young couples who attended and visited, and we weren't able to hold on to many of them, hardly any of them. They came and visited, but they didn't find this church as a place that they could call home, simply because we didn't offer anything for that age group. It's a growing edge, right? That's a place where we can say we need to produce more fruit as a church so that we can reach out in a way that they're able to relate to, that they're able to understand, either through Sunday school or through a small group or whatever it may be. But it all starts today. It all starts with our promise to our Savior that we are going to abide in Him. If we make that promise today, then everything else emanates from that. It's like a spokes of the wheel. It can all emanate from there. And today we're going to take an act that Moses took thousands of years ago. We're going to turn our hearts and our minds and our voices to the Lord and rededicate ourselves to Him. Let me tell you something about the covenant renewal service. If you have been here, this is the sixth year that we have done this covenant renewal service. I have been doing this service, since 1995, so about 21 years with the churches that I have served. It came originally from John Wesley in 1775. He used this format yearly on a New Year's Eve watch night service, right? He would do this every single year, and he found it incredibly edifying to the community that he served. I find the same thing I find it incredibly edifying to the community, to the communities that I serve as well. It can be a powerful service if you let it be one. I encourage you all to take out your booklet if you would. If you've been through this before, you'll see the covenant prayer, which is on page 3. Open it up right in the middle. At that covenant prayer, this is the heart and really the meat of the service. The prayer requires people to commit themselves to God. It is a covenant, which is serious, and it's expected to be taken seriously. At the beginning of that prayer, right before that prayer, you see where it's written, the people may kneel or bow if they so choose. If you don't want to kneel or if you don't want to bow, then I encourage you to stand at that point. So I will say, will you stand, please? But if you feel led by the Holy Spirit to kneel, or if you feel led by the Holy Spirit to raise your hand in adoration, or hands, if you'll have to have your neighbor hold it for you. If you feel led to bow before the Lord as you're reading this, then feel free any way in which you feel that you're able to worship God during this covenant prayer. I want to encourage you to go ahead and do that. Each bulletin also, each covenant service also, at the last page on page 5, there's a place where you can sign and put your date. I encourage you not to do that this morning here. I encourage you to take this home with you, and if you feel moved, if you feel that this is what God wants you to do in your life, to take it home, read it over again, and sign it and date it if that's what you feel the Holy Spirit is leading you to do. Allow yourself to be moved by it in that way. So it is the new year of 2017, and pretty soon we're going to be taking the Lord's Supper together for the first time also in 2017. But even more importantly, today in this service, you will be given an opportunity to embrace the new life that Jesus has chosen for you. And how fitting it is that we will be able to recommit our lives to Christ and then together take part in the sign of the new commitment in the covenant of the Lord's Supper as well. And we also have our second sacrament, not only the Lord's Supper, but also baptism in front of us. I encourage you to take a blue bead as you come forward to remind you of your baptism as well. Now there is water in the bowl, and there's supposed to be water in the bowl. Again, to remind you of the baptism, of your baptism as well. Brothers and sisters, let us now renew our promises before Almighty God. And let's together say the covenant renewal service, if you would open that with me. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the Christian life is redeemed from sin and consecrated to God. And through baptism, we have entered this life and have been admitted into the new covenant of which Jesus Christ is the mediator. He sealed it with his own blood so that it might last forever. On the one side, God promises to give us new life in Christ. He is the source and the perfecter of our faith. On the other side, we are pledged to live no more for ourselves, but only for Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. And from time to time, we renew our covenant with God, especially when we reaffirm the baptismal covenant and gather at the Lord's table. Today, we meet as the generations before us have met. To renew the covenant that binds us to God, let us make this covenant of God our own. And so today, commit yourselves to Christ as his servants. Give yourselves to him that you may belong to him. Christ has many services to be done. Some are more easy and honorable. Others are more difficult and even disgraceful. Some are suitable to our inclinations and interests. Others are contrary to both. In some we may please Christ and please ourselves, but then there are other works where we cannot please Christ except by denying ourselves. It's necessary, therefore, that we consider what it means to be a servant of Christ. Let us, therefore, go to Christ and let us pray together. Let me be your servant under your command. I will no longer be my own. I will give myself to your will in all things. Be satisfied that Christ shall give you your place and work. Lord, make me what you will. I put myself fully into your hands. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and with a willing heart give it all to your pleasure and disposal. Now Christ will be the Savior of none but his servants. He is the source of all salvation to those who obey. And Christ will have no servants except by consent. Christ will not accept anything except full consent to all that he requires. Christ will be all in all, or he will be nothing. Confirm this by a holy covenant. To make this covenant a reality in your life, listen to these admonitions. First, set apart some time more than once to be spent alone before the Lord, in seeking earnestly God's special assistance and gracious acceptance of you, in carefully thinking through all the conditions of the covenant, in searching your hearts whether you have already freely given your life to Christ. Consider what your sins are. Consider the laws of Christ, how holy, strict, and spiritual they are, and whether you, after having carefully considered them, are willing to choose them all. And be sure you are clear in these matters. See that you do not lie to God. Second, be serious and in a spirit of holy awe and reverence. Third, claim God's covenant. Rely upon God's promise of giving and grace and strength so that you can keep your promise. Trust not your own strength and power. And fourth, resolve to be faithful. You have given to the Lord your hearts, you have opened your mouths to the Lord, and you have dedicated yourself to God. With God's power, never ever go back. And last, be then prepared to renew your covenant with the Lord. Fall down on your knees, lift your hands toward heaven, open your hearts to the Lord as we pray. If you would stand or kneel or bow or go before the Lord in any manner that you would so choose. And let us pray together now the covenant prayer. O righteous God, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, see me as I fall down before you. Forgive my unfaithfulness in not having done your will. For you have promised mercy to me if I turn to you with my whole heart. But now God requires that you should put away all your idols. I here from the bottom of my heart renounce them all, covenanting with you that no sin shall be allowed in my life. Against your will, I have turned my love toward the world. In your power, I will watch all temptations that will lead me away from you, for my own righteousness is riddled with sin. Unable. Through Christ, God has offered to be your God again if you would just let him. Before all heaven and earth, I here acknowledge you as my Lord and God. I take you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for my portion, and vow to give up myself, body and soul, as your servant, to serve you in holiness and righteousness all the days of my life. Now God has given the Lord Jesus Christ as the only way and means to coming to God. Jesus, I do here on bended knees accept Christ as the only new and living way, and sincerely join myself in a covenant with him. O blessed Jesus, I come to you, hungry, sinful, miserable, blind, and naked, unworthy even to wash the feet of your servants. I do here with all my power accept you as my Lord and head. I renounce my own worthiness and vow that you are the Lord, my righteousness. I renounce my own wisdom and take you for my only guide. I renounce my own will and take your will as my law. Christ has told you that you must suffer with him. I do here covenant with you, O Christ, to take my lot with you as it may fall. Through your grace I promise that neither life nor death shall part me from you. Now God has given holy laws as a rule of your life. I do here willingly put my neck under your yoke to carry your burden. All your laws are holy, just, and good. I therefore take them as the rule for my words, thoughts, and actions, promising that I will strive to order my whole life according to your direction, and not allow myself to neglect anything I know to be my duty. Now the Almighty God searches and knows your heart. O God, you know that I make my covenant with you today without guile and reservation. If any falsehood should be in it, guide me and help me to set it aright. And now, glory be to you, O God the Father, whom I from this day forward shall look upon as my God and my Father. Glory be to you, O God the Son, who have loved me and washed me from my sins in your own blood, and now is my Savior and Redeemer. Glory be to you, O God the Holy Spirit, who by your almighty power have turned my heart from sin to God. O mighty God, the Lord omnipotent, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you have now become my covenant friend, and I, through your infinite grace, have become your covenant servant. And so be it. And that the covenant I have made on earth be ratified in heaven. Amen. Let us pray. So now, loving Lord, we do come before you. And as we prepare our hearts and our minds for this new year, we give you praise that we've been able to renew our devotion and our dedication to you. I ask that you'll watch over this congregation, that you'll strengthen the individuals, strengthen their relationships, spouses, friends, neighbors. Watch over them, Lord. We ask for a blessing upon this church as a body, as your bride, that you will strengthen us in the new year, that you will motivate us continually to look out for ways in which we can reach out to this community around us. We pray all this now in your loving name. Amen.